It's time for Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast with your hosts, Eric C. Lindstrom and Cheryl Leahy.
Welcome to this week's Vegan Family Podcast. We were very responsible and healthy last episode, and now we're going to turn to one of our favorite topics, vegan junk food.
Oh, and I know vegan junk food. While I'm trying to cut back, the new vegan foods that are popping up in the market and on the grocers these days is very, very tempting, and I think I've tried them all.
And I love to try them.
Yes, we are excited about this more devilish episode of the Vegan Family Podcast, brought to you by Compassion Over Killing and TryVeg.com, and we will be right back.
Since 1995, Compassion Over Killing has served as an unwavering force, bringing about positive changes for animals. Please consider a tax-deductible donation today. Visit COK.net for more.
And we're back. So we got some interesting feedback.
Yes, feedback. We love feedback.
Yeah. Send us whatever questions, comments, thoughts, or feelings you have, and we will talk about them.
Veganfamily at TryVeg.com. That's right.
So the question is, I'd be interested in knowing how to talk to your child's friends about why you don't eat animal products. I can't imagine other parents would be stoked about their kid coming home and asking why they eat animals, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think, you know?
What do you think, you know? Well, I've, you know, talked to you before about some of my experiences with social settings where our two vegan kids accidentally or maybe on purpose become mini activists by pointing out other kids eating animals, which is, of course, their candor to be so bold as to say, hey, you know what? You're eating an animal. Meanwhile, you know, we try to pull the reins in on them a little bit in that regard. But we also know that they're, you know, pretty, sure about what they're doing. And that's a big part of it is the confidence, confidence in, why they're doing it. That when we've said it before, we'll say it again. When your little kid says, I don't eat animals, animals are our friends. You can't ask, I mean, I can't ask for a better way of having our kids be raised, and also just their outlook, their compassionate outlook on life.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that sort of makes me think a little bit about how to articulate the way that the sort of guiding principle that I have when the kids engage on this topic. And really what I want to make sure that I'm not doing is trying to sort of mold them or squeeze them into what society might expect them to do in terms of, you know, politeness or whatever other justification.
Don't be polite.
The sort of ever present tightening of the societal noose, right?
Right.
I don't want to be that person. I don't want to put my hands around their necks there and do that. And I think, you know, I think more talking about these topics is the answer to difficult issues rather than censorship, rather than not talking about it or avoiding it.
Yep.
And really listening to what the kids have to say about it. So, you know, I actually, I was getting the kids some food, and this is a good junk food episode topic, but I was getting them food from Taco Bell, which is
the ultimate
one of our junk food stuff. And we were not in our neighborhood, and there was like one of these Taco Bell KFCs, and my older son was like really grossed out by the smell of the fried chicken. And it made him think about, you know, chickens.
Wow.
And I said, well, yeah, you know, we just did this investigation at my work where we had somebody, you know, hide a camera and take a video of what actually happens to how the chickens are treated when they're killed. And he really wanted to see the video. He really wanted to see it.
Wow.
And I was like, are you sure? It's pretty sad. And he was like, yeah, I'm sure. I want to see it. And I had to, you know, I really did feel like, you know, his sort of thinking about it, He wanted to see it. So I let him see it. And he was like, you know, it is sad. Like, as he was watching, it's like, it is sad. But non-vegans, they don't think it's sad.
Wow.
And I was like, you know, this is like the kind of topic that I don't want to be. I mean, these are, I remember being a kid and feeling like I just barely got a handle on my own thoughts. How am I also supposed to manage other people's feelings while I'm trying to get my thoughts out, right? Yeah. I still feel that like way now, and I'm 37. But I think what I really didn't want, I wanted to kind of give him the space to kind of think about that and process that. So I didn't want to be like, oh, well, you know, let's wrap this up neatly and like move on with our lives. But I said, you know, one thing that we hope is that, you know, when people do learn about this, when they're not vegan, you know, they start to realize that it's sad and they start to kind of think about making choices that would help these animals.
Right.
And so that is sort of a long way of saying, I think the answer to this question is to back off and let the kids engage on this topic the way that they want to engage. Now, I, of course, separately have my own sort of activist mindset, and I'm going to try to navigate the social environment in a way that, you know, isn't totally going to be alienating. But, you know, and I'm the person who will wear my vegan shirts to school pickup and whatever.
Yeah.
But I do think that increasingly so, even though my kids are little, they're only 3 and 5, the lead with their friends is taken by them and their friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're going to be the best ones to have kid level conversations. And that's even with adults too. You know, they'll tell adults like, oh, you know, I don't want that 'cause I'm vegan or whatever. And they always get positive. Oh, that's great. You know, but let them engage in that conversation. You know, it's pretty clear and pretty obvious to me when they need some support or some help. But on the vegan topic, I don't think that's ever happened. You know, they'll ask me questions like I had out of the blue. My older one said, why would anybody cut a fish? And like, I totally get it. Like the way he's thinking, like, yeah, like what kind of like, why would that occur to anyone to do that? And what kind of person would have to do that? Like, I get that he's thinking that way. And I think like there is this impulse to kind of, you know, mediate that or sort of step in and. But, you know, let that be the raw question. Like, let him process it the way he's processing it. So I think, you know, the principle of just kind of letting him be where he is, talking about it the way he wants to talk about it when, if and when he does. You know, because my younger one processes this very differently. Like, to him, it's all about sort of, like, empowering to save animals and to,
It reminds me of, you know, walking through the grocery store and between the produce section and perhaps the place where we get our plant-based milks is the meat section. We actually, it's tucked back in a corner, so we don't have to go through it that often, thankfully, but often we'll have to walk past the lobster tanks and all of the dead animals. And as I push the kids in the shopping cart, they'll point at everything and say, dead animal, dead animal, dead animal, dead animal. And then a parent or, you know, an adult will look at me like, what? And I'll always reply with, well, they're right. Like, they're telling the truth. This is what that is. And I don't want to ever censor that. I don't want to ever stop them from knowing that that is, in fact, what is shrink-wrapped in those, you know, packages so neatly. They used to be animals or they used to be living sentient beings. So, yeah, I would just tell them to keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And I think you actually, I have been pleasantly surprised by how positive the reactions are. And this may just be because I live in Southern California.
Right.
Everybody likes cute kids saying like, you know, things that are unexpected. Yeah. Anytime a kid says anything that isn't like, you know, just
expected,
can I have a
right?
cookie or whatever? Like it's funny and it's like cute. And so, you know, people connect to that. So I have never, like, my kids, all the time would be at the grocery store being like, there's dead cow, there's dead pig.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've never gotten a negative response.
Well, let's get back to Taco Bell real quick because, you know, they're just rolling out now a dedicated vegan and vegetarian menu. And they, I wouldn't say led the way because I think Chipotle beat them a little bit to the punch in terms of making it a very welcoming space for vegans. But definitely ordering at Taco Bell fresco style, I'm sure has saved many a parent on the road trying to grab something quick, a chalupa or a taco, replace the meat with beans. You can obviously tell I've memorized my order by now. Vegan junk food, vegan fast food. What's the bad part? What's the downside of that, Cheryl?
Well, I think let me first say the upside, because there are problems with eating junk food all the time, but yeah. I think there's something really important, especially when it comes to kids and families, about having convenience and sort of visibility of vegan options.
Yeah.
And being able to normalize them, make them part of the mainstream. This is a huge sort of central part of Compassion Over Killing's mission. And a lot of what we do as an organization is trying to make that happen, to sort of change the culture around that. So we've had successful campaigns with Subway and, Starbucks and other big chains to try to make sure that where people currently are, where they are physically located, there are things surrounding them that they can go and get vegan. And I think Subway and Taco Bell are both really good examples of places that have vegan options. And I was super excited to see, the vegan option, the expansion plans for Taco Bell. And I was actually just at a restaurant here in LA called Doomies, which you might have been to.
Oh, yeah. There's one in Toronto. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. And they have like their main restaurant, and then they have like a Mexican restaurant next door. And I was just talking with somebody saying, years ago, this was such a big deal that they had this like kind of vegan Big Mac style burger. And now it's like, oh my God, it's such junk food. Like it's just all this fried food. Right. And I sometimes go there. There was a time that I took my younger son there because we had this like napping disaster because both my kids stopped napping before they turned two.
No,
it's a whole other topic. But when we first started the school like offered them, this new school offered him a chance to nap, which is like they're supposed to do that under the law. But they don't know that that means he'll be up until like 1 a.m. So and the first day it was just like a novelty. So he just like, he said, "Mom, a lady, I don't know her name, made me a bed."
I don't know her name.
So that started this whole like downward spiral of him napping. And so I was just on my own with him one weekend because my husband and my other son were out of town. And I was like, all right, I'm going to reset his clock. He's up he was up past midnight, like every night if he would, even take like a 20-minute nap or something. So I'm like, all right, we're going to go up to Hollywood and we're going to have like a fun day and just kind of like wear him out, get him to the point where by Sunday night he's going to be going to bed at a normal time. And then I'm going to tell him like they don't, not to nap him. And so we had like just a night out like in Hollywood. And he was like the only, he was the only 2-year-old. it's like kind of pushing him in his little push car around like, homeless people on the Hollywood Walk of Stars and stuff at like 10:30 at night. So we went to Doomies and he was like literally like the only child there. And we sat at this table full of that had a Joker and Harley Quinn tablecloth and or whatever table decoration. And the food was like really rich and really like crazy. And then you could tell the crowd there was like, not necessarily vegan. Like this is like just a destination place to go and have like your comfort food, your chili cheese fries and your deep fried burgers and whatever. And then, I was like, all right, I think I might be a little too old for this level of junk food. But he had a great time. He really liked it. And then just this weekend, I took them back up to that area. And I knew that I didn't want to overdo it. And then I tried the vegan ice cream shop that's in the same strip mall, which is called Coco Bella. And it was the best ice cream I'd ever had in my entire life. It was amazing. And it was like, there's no way that a person who, is not vegan or has not been introduced to being vegan wouldn't love this ice cream.
That's great.
And to me, that's why we need this kind of stuff. It's for that occasional time once you are vegan to kind of go back to, this is a fun thing to do.
School.
Go out, some sort of touristy indulgent day and, have this kind of occasion. It's sort of event eating, right? It's like we made an event out of this day. And then also to, bring in new vegans and make people realize that it's really good. It's not a sacrifice.
Yeah, that's happening, you know, as we're saying, at places where you wouldn't expect it to be happening. There's, you know, obviously a lot of chatter right now about McDonald's itself experimenting with a vegan burger. Taco Bell, Chipotle, Doomies.
The Carl's Jr. now has Beyond.
Carl's Jr. is a big one right now. I know, right? And so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it, in terms of normalizing it and making it more popular and available to everyone, is in the grocery stores where I'm like shocked to be able to say this. Places like Walmart have massive sections of vegan, plant-based, meat alternatives. In fact, there's some items that I've only ever seen at Walmart. For all the listeners, this is the vegan junk food episode. So you're going to hear things that may sound shocking to some parents. I wrote the book, The Smart Parent's Guide to Raising Vegan Kids, and it came out almost a year ago. And there is a review that's on Amazon that's so bad that the reviewer would have given it 0 stars if they could. The book was absolutely absurd. It's a manual on how to feed your children vegan junk food. It's not so much, but what it does, I hope, is it frees up parents to realize that their kids can eat burgers and fries if that's what the kids want to eat, that the kids will be able to have a slice of pizza, that the kids can have a hot dog with some cheese on it. All of these things I'm saying are readily available in a vegan version. And so while our house, you know, here with raising our 2 kids, may every so often make a mac and cheese, we do a lot of the vegan meats like a Gardein, the chicken scappellini, and those crumbles are really great. We put those into chili, things like that. The availability of these foods really, really helps normalize, promote, and make accessible vegan eating.
Yeah, and even like places like Disneyland are getting way more vegan friendly. And, you know, they have the Dole Whip, which is vegan as is, and there's always just like a 20-minute line to get that. Although the trick is, if you go to Disneyland, you can go to the show, the Tiki Lounge show, and you can get the ice cream on that side if you're in line. But anyway.
Nice. Pro tip. Disney pro tip.
Disney's very forward thinking about this, and there are a lot of healthy vegan options at the park, but you know, just the fact that they can go and get their, you know, their veggie burger and some of the like Mickey Mouse waffles and stuff like that are vegan, and they have at the pizza places you can get vegan cheese pizzas. You know, they do a really good job, and I think that's the whole idea. It's like, what is the kids' world? What are the things that the kids are really excited about? You know, say we've talked about birthday parties in the past. We've talked about even just going out to a restaurant, like you say, having pizza, having French fries. You know, how do we really sort of participate in life? And
that's a great
allow
way to put it,
you know, for, you know, sort of consistency in our ethics. And I think we're seeing more and more. I have no reason ever to go in my life. I've had no reason to go to Carl's Jr. And now I guess I do.
never saw that coming. And meanwhile, here, you know, in the Northeast, and of course I'm close to New York City, there are a lot of, from varying levels of healthiness in terms of ingredients used and menu items, but there are a lot of smaller independent restaurants and cafes that will make Reubens and will make BLTs and will make, you know, all of these, again, as you say, these foods that are very delicious, you know, maybe decadent at times, but are available to people. And so they can get a Reuben on the go and enjoy it because it tastes, to me anyway, exactly the same, you know, has all of the same ingredients, just the vegan version of them. And so that's where, you know, that line between what's vegan junk food and what's sort of a whole food plant-based diet, and how does that apply to your family and apply to your own health, you know, needs and nutritional needs. So I want to throw in here real quick, because one of the contributors to the book, to my book, is Dr. Neil Bernard, and I know you're familiar with him. He's at the PCRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And I asked he and Tom Campbell, who is T. Colin Campbell's son, to contribute to the book so that there would be a perspective of a plant-based doctor So I wasn't going out on the line for kids. You know, I'm not, mm-hmm. I'm not the one who's going to say, here's what you can feed your kids and have them be healthy. Here's two very, very well-respected doctors and their opinions on vegan diets. And I remember when I wrote to Dr. Bernard about possibly contributing to the book, I was very sort of like, can you say walking on eggshells? I think, again, that's a non-vegan phrase. But I was sort of like, okay, so Dr. Bernard, I understand this book may not be the healthiest book ever written. This book is not written by T. Colin Campbell. This book is not about Dr. Greger and Dr. Esselstyn. This is not a whole food plant-based diet book. This is about getting your kids to be vegan because you're vegan, or you're all going to go vegan together and let's do it for the animals kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, so, you know, keep in mind that this is not a book about, you know, being extra healthy. It's a book about eating vegan food. And his first response, the first sentence in his response to me was, hey, Eric, I would pull back on that a little bit. I wouldn't concern yourself or be stressed out about that. Any vegan diet is healthier than an omnivore's diet, is healthier than a meat eater's diet. And hearing that from Dr. Bernard, it was like when I've heard T. Colin Campbell saying about the protein myth, that you're getting plenty of protein, don't worry about it. It's the same kind of thing. I'm like, he's right. Now, of course, that's not entirely true if all you're eating is a bag of potato chips and a bag of Five Guys French fries and, you know, a day of mac and cheese three times a day. You know, it's all within reason. But he is saying that the ingredients that are normally used, these plant-based ingredients, are going to be better for you. And so while it may be junk food, it may be something that you don't want to do 5 days a week, I don't think giving your kid a bowl of cereal, if it's, again, a vegan cereal in the morning, is a bad thing. Or I don't think giving your kids a mac and cheese made with a day of mac and cheese, you know, day of cheese is a bad thing. Every now and again, balanced out, like any diet, it's still good for you.
Yeah, and I think, like, what I'm really sort of realizing listening to you kind of talk about this and thinking about this a little bit more is that really what it is about empowering your kids with the tools to make choices. And that's part of the point of being a parent, right? Like, you want them to have that kind of self-efficacy. You want them to feel empowered. You want them to feel competent in being able to do these things. So if they need to be able to learn to navigate the world, even if the world is not perfect and there are these sort of traps, that if they decide to go down the road of eating a bag of potato chips every day, and we have been there in my family, that, you know, they kind of know how to navigate that, and that these are conversations that are open. And it's not just about sort of pre-curating everything for them and restricting everything. It's about understanding the reasoning behind things and being able to navigate that in a way that sort of resonates with them and who they are. I mean, my two kids, just the two of them, are totally different human beings. You know, they have totally different personalities. You know, it's really cute now at this age to see how connected and bonded they are. But it's like, you know, they're going to come to these issues very differently. You know, health is going to, you know, ring a bell for people in different ways at different times of their lives. And I think most kids are not really that. It's not like, I remember thinking health was like something that, you know, was 30 years away. Like, oh, maybe if I do something bad, like one day I'll get cancer.
Someday I'll pay for this.
Yeah, it wasn't like today I feel better. Actually, it wasn't until I started getting really healthy, actually in law school, I really started thinking about much more about health and exercise and eating right and everything. And I mean, I was always a gymnast and I was always did a couple other sport type things, but I never really kind of mentally started focusing on health until law school. And then I was like, oh, when they say like eat right and exercise, it actually means you feel better like today.
Yeah.
So, but I do think that it's an abstract concept for kids. So what's more interesting to them is like, okay, we're going to go to this birthday party. Do I have cake? You know? And I think that's a big thing. Like, you know, we've talked about that and I've heard other vegan kids say the same thing. It's like, yeah, I wish I could eat this cake, but we have this great bakery on the way. If we have any birthday party, like south of our house, we have this great bakery where that has like these amazing cupcakes and cookies and whatever that we can always like bring to a birthday party. And then if it's north, we can go to Whole Foods and get, you know, donuts or those little package cakes or whatever. And anything, that's pretty important. Like from a kid's point of view, that's where their priorities are thinking. You know, I mean, they're still kids. They still like my older one in particular had a candy obsession phase that was just, it's dying down now, but like the amount of mental energy that went to thinking about candy out of control. You could take $1 to the dollar store and spend like a half an hour in there picking like it's one thing. But yeah, I think we have to think about giving them a broad enough set of tools to really have that autonomy a little bit while we're sort of supporting them and giving them that kind of empowerment. And obviously we want to, you know, steer them in the direction of being healthy, but also, you know, how do you, what are kind of the qualitative things that matter when it comes to why you might choose a junky meal or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Now let me insert some dramatic music here. There's the dramatic music. So I'm going to take you through a junk food day in our household. Are you
yes.
ready for it? Okay. So, tater tots mm-hmm. are evil because they're so good, and they're vegan. And the ones we buy by Orida, which is a huge company, of course, are also gluten-free, so they're allowed in our household. So we could put a half a bag of tater tots into the air fryer. And while those are cooking, which take about 12 minutes with one shake midway, I'll make a tofu scramble with a lot of vegetables, so it's not that bad for you. But I'll turn them into tofu scramble wraps that also have cheese in them. And so now we have these big, thick, cheesy tofu scramble wraps and tater tots that we can dip into mayonnaise, just mayo, and ketchup. And so that could be a really, really junky, awful start to our day.
That sounds amazing.
And I would... I know, I was going to say, I would be lying if I didn't tell you we've done it pretty much every weekend for the past year. We're pulling back a little bit, but some of the same ingredients still make appearances. Quantity may be cut in half here and there. But yeah, that's, you know, that's the start of our day. That with, you know, I'll have some black coffee. We might actually make some fresh squeezed orange juice. That's kind of like how we'll start our day here. Midway through the day, we'll have some snacks. Again, I hate to admit it, but the kids they love just standard old potato chips, just regular plain potato
yep.
chips.
We call them yellow chippies in our house.
Yes, the yellow ones. That's right.
And the blue yellow chippies.
Yellow chips. The blue ones are the salt and vinegar, so they like those if they want to be spicy. So we'll have chips. We may have find some good crackers that they like. There are some of those, you know, they sort of hint at a cheesiness. We found one that were beet crackers that actually hinted at goat cheese, which were really delicious. So we have, you know, snacks like that during the day. The pouches, of course, are a savior. Still, they'll pound through a couple of pouches. And then made good granola bars. And so that'll get us through until lunchtime, where we could make a mac and cheese. We can make hot dogs, Beyond Meat burgers. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these, again, standard foods are readily available now in their vegan version. And it depends on how far you go, if you're going to put cheese on them or if you're going to cook up some sweet earth tempeh bacon to put on the burger. I mean, you could really go all out and make each one of your meals junkier than the last one and still be on a 100% vegan diet.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm mentioning this, and the dinner too, we'll have a fun dinner with you know, sausages and pastas and pasta sauce, or maybe even a cream sauce like a Alfredo. You know, all of these things where by the end of the day you've probably consumed 5 million calories and you feel really full, and boy, you can't believe you've just eaten this entire, you know, vegan day. The reason I say this is that you and I have young kids, and so they can't shop yet. They can't choose their own food yet. They can have opinions, but still, when you're 5 years old, you know, you're still really the one making
the
rules.
Yeah, they can't like take an Uber or anything.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so there are parents out there listening right now, I hope. There are parents out there who I've talked to who have teenagers, who have older kids, who have kids who don't want to just be like, well, I don't want to just eat a vegan oatmeal.
Right.
I don't want to eat, you know, vegan cereal. You got to remember that anything that they've eaten in the past or anything you've eaten growing up, you can still
yep.
eat. And there's a vegan version of everything. And it's finally hit a point where it tastes as good, if not better. And it's not as... it's not as expensive as people might think to get really good vegan cheese or to get really good vegan burgers or to get you know, these pastas and to make these cashew cream sauces. There's all of these ways to really, you know, fill yourself up both mentally, like, you know, emotionally, if you want to eat French fries to be happy. But there's junk food, there's vegan junk food that's really just fun to eat. And if you do it two or three times a week, that's okay.
And it's available. And I think the point about the teenagers is really good because, you know, I know it's like, like Chipotle seems to be like the like high school and college kids, like Mecca. And, you know, there's plenty of, you know, ways to eat fairly cheap and a lot of food at Chipotle Vegan. And I also like, you know, we order delivery pizza when we want to sit home and have a movie night or whatever. Right. And we have actually several pizza places in our area that will deliver vegan pizza. Two of them that both have vegan cheese will do Chicago style pizza, which I like because that's where I'm from. And you know, that's pretty decadent. That's pretty like the, a true like stuffed Chicago pizza is just like inches of cheese. So they do that, you know, they'll do a vegan version of that and it's really good. So that's kind of something that is our sort of, I guess, go-to junk food. And, you know, the kids will say they want like spinach and tomatoes and whatever. So it's not like totally just junk, but it's like a little, it's like junk, like just sort of garnished with like something green. But I think, you know, that, that is really like, we're talking about, out and about, like these things are now so much more accessible. But also at home, you know, if you want to just sort of have that kind of fun or indulgent kind of night. And then also, grocery stores, Trader Joe's, for example, has so many great vegan snacks that aren't like junky, but, you know, great for like bringing to the soccer game or whatever, you know? And, you know, like they have like the peanut butter pretzels and I know Costco has those and they have all sorts of really good stuff, including some of the mock meats and, you know, even like vegan, they have Miyoko's, cream cheese there. And then Target, have you tried, I know that there's tons of really good, vegan ice creams. Now you have like the Ben and Jerry's vegan ones and stuff, but have you tried the Target brand? Just the Archer Farms?
I'm seriously.
Unbelievable.
It's seriously the best. I know. It's so good. And Breyers too, the two or three flavors that Breyers has, they come in a larger tub. So I actually think it might be less expensive than some of the more sort of, you know, Ben and Jerry's level of vegan ice creams, but they're delicious. The peanut butter one is fantastic. And again, as you were saying earlier, that, that no one would know that this isn't, you know, a dairy-based ice cream or cheeses for that matter. There's all these foods that, that we can get now. Aldi's is a great example too. Aldi's is just knocking it out of the park with vegan options. And they know, they see that they, they're riding the wave. They see where the trend is going. They see people making smarter choices, even though it may be junk food at times. But they're seeing people wanting to see the vegan or plant-based label on food.
Yeah, and I will say one thing about vegan junk food and kind of going back to your point about Dr. Barnard saying that, you know, it's better than the standard American diet version. You know, as vegans, like, we really like eating, right? We still like our food just as much as everybody else. And I think, like, what people might think about vegan junk food is that it's not as indulgent or decadent as, say, you know, the real thing, so to speak. But I don't think that at all. Like, I hit my, you know, fat, sugar, and salt limit, like, you know, really, really before I even finish, like, you know, a burger or something oftentimes. And it really does sort of hit that spot. It's not like I'm like, oh, well, I would love to have, like, the full fat this, but instead I'm going to have like the diet version. It certainly does not feel that way. It's just as sort of like indulgent and fun. And it really like fully 100% kind of hits that, that craving and satisfies that sort of whatever you're going to use junk food for. It really sort of satisfies that. And so it's not like, you know, eating a bunch of fat-free cookies because you can't have, you know, the real deal. It's just as indulgent. I mean, especially like chocolate. I mean, there's so many amazing vegan chocolate. Like, there's no way you would ever tell that they're, you know, that they're sort of maybe, you know, a little healthier because they don't have cholesterol or whatever. But they're just as indulgent.
Yeah, you know, you find them too in weird places. I was at TJ Maxx during the holidays picking up some last-minute gifts. And in the checkout line, if you look on either side at that sort of point of purchase, displays. There's so many like vegan, there was this vegan gluten-free peanut butter bites, and they were like these, they look like petaphors, these huge cakes of chocolate covered goodness. And I was like, this is amazing. And it's clearly labeled vegan. Of course, I had to try it. And of course, I pretty much ate the whole bag. So anyone listening at vegan, send us an email at veganfamily@tryveg.com. Let us know what your favorite junk food indulgences are. Let us know where you're going now, if you're going out for vegan fast food and junk food, or where you would like to see more fast food options, because we can get to work here at Compassion Over Killing and try to make those
things happen for you. Yeah, what would make your kids happier, you know, to make them sort of better vegans, happier people.
Yes, and they're not suffering. Yeah. Our kids are not suffering, I'll tell you that. They're very, very happy. They're thriving, and they're just wonderfully active kids who happen to be vegan.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of like one of those things that adds to all the other million things that, you know, make them who they are. And this is just sort of a way to kind of live some of those ethics.
Yeah, I agree. Well, great episode as always, Cheryl. Always a pleasure hearing your stories. I hope others are appreciating and hearing the stories as well. Subscribe today and stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you for tuning in to Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast. Have episode ideas or questions about going vegan? Email us at govegan@tryveg.com.